Hey, everybody, and welcome once again to another edition of the BH Sales Chemical Holistic Healing Hour with your host and moderator, me, Grandpa Bill. Thank you, one and all, for being here. We're here daily, Sunday through Saturday, each and every day. And today, it's my great guest to introduce my great guest, Talia Tandy, in a moment. And many of you, if you have joined the show archivally, you know I did do a prelude show. If you haven't had the opportunity to join me there, Talia is going to expand upon her bio here in a moment. So I'm going to read a quick, short snippet because I did cover her bio and from her website pretty good in the prelude shows and in the aforementioned show that I did this morning for those of you that are there. So my guest is Talia Tandy, BCPA, personal cancer doula. Talia is a 10-year cancer thriver. Talia overcame Hodgkin's lymphoma, which included enduring chemotherapy and radiation treatments and the ups and downs of cancer. And while going through her cancer journey, Talia noticed that there was a gap, something that I'm going to pretty much segue right into now and welcome my guest, Talia Tandy. Welcome. Welcome and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, and thank you so much for having me. And just one correction, my name is pronounced Talia.
Yep, and we talked about that in the green room, and I struck out already. I explained to Talia that it's from a fond memory of a granddaughter's childhood friend, Layla, and I just keep saying Talia. Your name is indeed Talia. thank you and welcome. And please do segue right in because we have you for about 30 minutes. And I want you to tell us about your journey for the ubiquitous audience who may or may not be familiar with you. Let's make us all into what. Welcome. Please tell us about your journey.
Yes. So in 2011, I was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma out of the blue. I was never sick or anything like that other than the flu. So of course, that diagnosis took me by surprise. I would like to note that when I was diagnosed, I was in my early 30s. So of course, at that time, I was focused on climbing the corporate ladder and then potentially starting a family. So cancer diagnosis was a huge blow. No one else in my family really had any cancer diagnosis related to Hodgkin's lymphoma or anything like that. The closest diagnosis to cancer was my grandmother had lung cancer, but she was a smoker. So, you know, my age and my race were pretty apparent when I would go in to get my cancer treatments. There was really no one there that looked like me. I had the support of my family. I had a great oncologist. I would say my health care was great up until the point where I had to have radiation treatments. I just thought that the staff there just seemed really careless. And that was my only bad experience. Even though, again, like I had a great oncologist, the support of my family, there were still gaps in my care. And by that, I mean, there was no one to talk to about emotional support. And there was no one there really who understood what I was going through. Now, mind you, of course, there are support groups and things like that. And I did make an attempt to go to a support group. But after being there for about 5 or 10 minutes, right away, I knew that it was not for me. Because everyone there was older. They were just very negative. And I'm like, I'm out of here. I don't want my cells to hear this. I'm gone.
Can I ask you a quick question, which you pretty much stated the obvious. Being older, not in the room at the time or whatever. Now, please understand my question. Were you judged, not by your race or anything like that, I don't mean it that way, but were you judged with the age difference, obviously, I think you just said that quite eloquently, they didn't have an understanding of what you were going through.
No.
And were you the only, if you appreciate my question, were you indeed one of the only people of color at that time in your immediate? Yeah. So obviously you were alone in every regard. Yeah. Did you get immediately more anxiety on the immediacy, if that's a word? Because I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think in some cases, yes, because there, again, there was no one who I could really talk to get an idea of what to expect. So I think for me, more of it was around having an understanding of possibilities of what to expect next. And that was what was causing me a lot of anxiety. But then also, Bill, it's very disheartening to, you know, go into these treatment centers and you see all these brochures and there's other people there, but there's no representation of you, not just race, but age as well. And younger people get cancer also.
So what was step two in your progression, if that atmosphere wasn't working at optimum, if you will, what was next?
Yeah. So for me, I kind of took matters into my own hands and I started doing research about mind-body connection. I started journaling, focusing more on meditation, that kind of thing, just trying to figure out ways that I could self-soothe myself. And that led to, of course, a lot of education and things like that. And just having an understanding that I have the power within me to control at least my emotions and to figure out a way to kind of work through those emotions, not suppress them, but figure out a way to work through them so that I don't get stuck in those dark places.
Right. So when you got entrenched, if you will, in more research and feeling more confident and knowledgeable, and were you indeed feeling more positive just by like addressing and harnessing, getting a direction, if you will, even though it was self-directed, and kudos to you for doing that. Had you been versed in yoga and meditation and that thing at that juncture in your life, did you have a layman's knowledge of, or had you been a participant in meditation or yoga or that type of thing previous to your diagnosis? Had you been familiar with those types of things in way of treatment without having the diagnosis, if I'm making any sense? Had you been doing that in your regime of day-to-day affairs?
No. So
you definitely were learning from the grassroots. You definitely were learning from the grassroots level.
Absolutely. So learning about that, and then also learning about cancer itself and making sure that I was educated on the type of cancer that I had so that I can make the best decisions for myself, because I'm just not the kind of person who's going to just show up and sit there and say, okay, do whatever you want. No, I wanted to be a part of my care. So I had to learn that as well.
And as you well know, that's so important in any kind of recovery, regardless of our malady or whatever diagnosis that we don't want to hear. But for sure, for cancer, the only reason that I talk about knowing anything about it is, like most of us in our family tree, or certainly somebody we know, a neighbor, a friend, everybody knows somebody that's been touched by cancer in its many forms of. We've still got a long ways to go, but in your duration of 10 years plus, you must be encouraged by the steps that we're making towards. That's always good, because 10 years ago, like anything, the research wasn't what it was as it's advancing. So would you concur that, all things considered, we have a long way to go, but things are looking better for those that are suffering? Then, of course, doulas. Well, tell us all about doulas for those of us that may not have any conception of what a doula in the traditional definition of, and then, of course, in cancer, if you would, please. Thank you.
Sure. Yes. So to answer your first question, we do have a long way to go. We have made some strides since 2011, but we do have a lot more work to do in regards to cancer care. And part of that is, Bill, is making sure that people understand their options when it comes to integrative and alternative therapies. So that's a huge area that still needs more work. And as far as a doula, I'm sorry,
can you see me okay? Because you snapped off on my visual. But as long as you can see me and hear me, if it's not too disconcerting to yourself, we can continue right in stride. But your camera did snap off.
Oh, I'm still here. And you are very blurry.
Okay.
But I can
Let me see if I can work on that. And I'm sorry, I didn't want to break your train of thought. You're coming through loud and clear audibly. So if you want to continue with that point, let me see if I can snap you back in. Okay, so I'm sorry, continue with your point.
So I'll start off with the definition of a doula. A doula is someone who supports another person through a major life change or significant health-related experience. Some people are familiar with birth doulas. Well, most people are. And I say that they focus on the beginning of life. Deaf doulas focus on the end of life and helping people transition. As a cancer doula, I focus on the present. And by that, I mean I'm helping the person or families that I support look at this thing called cancer and determine how they can get on the other side of cancer. Just because someone gets a diagnosis does not mean that it's the end for them, that they're going to die. And we want to work together and focus on ways to make sure they get into survivorship and the other side of cancer. Now, on the other side of cancer does not mean death. It means that there's life on the other side of cancer.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You did come back on, and we are a little bit blurry, but I can see you and, we can hear you. And for sure, we can go to audio. So if, and again, I apologize if that was disconcerting. And I want to make sure I keep you on the clock for 30 minutes. We're looking real good. We got, I just want to make sure. So doulas, and you did explain it. And was that something that you were even remotely familiar term-wise with at that infancy juncture? So that was a self-learning procedure for yourself as well. And then you got the great idea. I'm sorry, you got the great idea of providing your service. Did that coincide immediately? Like, have you been doing that in the 10-year cycle of your diagnosis? Or was it shortly before you went out on your own to be a doula and start your own podcast show and so forth? I'm sorry, go ahead.
And so I had never heard of a cancer doula when I had cancer. I didn't even hear of cancer coaches. But I think around 2017 is when I started thinking more and more. God kept putting it on my spirit that the place you're in right now, you're not, that's not what you're supposed to be doing. The work and supply chain was not what I was supposed to be doing. But I kept asking, well, what is that? What is that? And it's just interesting how it all unfolded, because people would come to me and ask, you know, share with me that they had been diagnosed with cancer. And one lady that I was working with, she had no idea that I had cancer before. And she shared with me that she had cancer. And so I said, here, why don't you give me a call later this evening and we'll talk? So at that point, I shared with her, you know, I had cancer too. I can help you, you know, kind of get started to give you some reassurance, to give you some things to think about and expect. And I didn't know what I was doing at the time. And by that, I mean, I'm thinking I'm just sharing information. That's it. But later she shared with me, she's like, you know, you helped me so much. Everything that you told me happened. And then not only that, she didn't even know who my oncologist was, but she ended up with the same oncologist.
Cut it out. I think we talked about another subject of small world. That's a small world for sure. How incredible. That's like you guys were meant to be. Really, seriously. I believe in that. I do. I believe in that. And I know listening to your shows that you certainly have an element of spiritualism. So do I. Had you always been, how's that for a question? Had you always been a spiritual person? But did it get accentuated even deeper for the obvious reasons of what you were going through?
Yes, absolutely. I had always been spiritual, but of course it got accentuated because that was the primary thing that I was able to lean on.
Exactly. And at that time, especially, I know you have some competition in the doula field and so forth. But at that time, for that said client and your other clients, but especially that said client, it probably was such a relief because there basically was nobody to talk to, feel like it, and feeling on the other side of it, well, nobody's gone through this. They wouldn't understand me. And if you don't mind me asking, was that emotional as well? You know, that's pretty emotional when people connect like that at that level.
Yeah.
If you're comfortable, and I'm not asking you to just get out the Kleenexes and what have you, but I mean, that's pretty emotional. And that release that someone has that confidence to exchange on both sides. Yeah. I mean, it is something to have to go through and be open to talking about what you've gone through, and vice versa, hearing that from someone that's done the same.
Yeah. It was emotional, and it was affirming as to what my purpose was, because
absolutely
when I was helping her, I didn't have a business. I didn't have clients. Again, I was just sharing information. But once that happened with her, that was the initial confirmation. But then it happened again. Wow. And so I started researching cancer coaches.
Correct.
And there was, at that time in 2017, there wasn't a whole lot of information.
Not many. And I'm not as versed as you are, but I, in my peripheral businesses research and been around that long, blah, blah, blah. I know that it wasn't that, not to the degree that you know, but it wasn't that prevalent then. It was an infancy new business, if you will, to a very large degree, to a very large degree.
So for a very bad thing
that you had to experience, a very great thing came out of it. And you did get your awakening to your true calling, to a lot of agony and a lot of suffering to discover it.
Yeah.
Kudos to you for doing so. You're to be commended for that.
Thank you.
Very good.
And so it blossomed
from there, your endeavors to indeed make a career, business out of it.
Yeah.
It blossomed from there, and you've obviously got clientele and what have you. What are most clients, without any names or anything like that? What is, of course, different degrees of being, coping skills, and maybe not having family support and what have you?
Yeah.
Is it a bit of an endeavor for you to get the vote of confidence, if you will, because they're so confused or lost, for lack of a better word? Yeah. So that takes some developing to nurture that relationship and earn the trust.
That's right. You have to earn the trust.
And again, now you've been doing this long enough, that is the referrals starting to come full circle to enrich your business as well?
Yes.
From what you've done through referrals, that's awesome.
And you're continuing. Just want to note.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to note that I started doing the research in 2017 and had just set up my LLC, had went through a coaching certification. Yep. So just general life coaching certification. And then when I left corporate America at the end of 2018, the following January of 2019 is when I just went all in and just started promoting myself. Yes. Yep. But it's been a uphill battle, you know, just creating awareness.
Right.
And then hospitals and clinics still don't really see it as something that, you know, outside of it's not something that's worthy.
It's an alternative approach. And we all know that. And alternative modalities are coming around finally in the Western Hemisphere, Western medicine. We won't get sidetracked on that. But it's taken a while for us to catch up in the medical arena. But they are opening up more and more and more alternative, holistic medicines and so forth are finally starting to crack through and get their due justice, preaching to the proverbial choir here. But many people, through it's not a bad thing. We've been conditioned for years to believe a lot of things, too, that may not necessarily always have been.
Yeah.
You know where I'm going with that.
So I do.
It took some enlightenment enlightenment. And then, of course, the last 3 years, for the obvious reasons, for everybody, no matter what they're doing, how they're doing it, or trying to launch a business, or all of the above, has obviously impeded our progress for the obvious reasons. So did that accentuate by being behind closed doors in a backhanded way? Did that blossom your podcast show and your home endeavors because it kind of had to, if you will?
But it
did follow that way. Your show is great, by the way. Anybody that isn't familiar with your show, and we'll make sure you avow your credentials to make sure that I repeat them correctly, including your name, little Joe. So we are real good on the clock. We got about 15 minutes. I thought maybe, what are some of the modalities, if you will, that people have tried, be them alternative or traditional, and your clients' thoughts on both, if they've been a little bit experimental, if you will, with maybe CBD, maybe edibles, maybe cannabis, maybe not, or what they have found efficacious wherever the sources may be in the world, in the way of medicinal helping along with cancer treatment, whatever their particular cancers are. Again, there's so many of them.
Yeah.
But what have you found in your exchanges as to how people have self-medicated, prescribed or otherwise, if you will?
Sure. So I've seen a lot of different things. One thing, Bill, that I can point out is that most people are doing both traditional and complementary or alternative. Yeah. And so that's one thing I want to note. Very few people are just like, hey, I'm just going to try this alternative method and that's it.
We're not there yet. Mm-hmm. Right. Continue.
We're not there yet. Yeah. And so I always, tell people, make sure you talk with your doctor, let them know what you're doing or trying.
Absolutely.
But I've seen a lot of different things. Some people are very focused on like yoga, the meditation part.
Very much so.
CBD is another one. It has helped a lot of people with anxiety.
It has
helped with the side effects of their cancer treatment, for example, like with neuropathy, that kind of thing. Edibles, I have heard of a few people doing those, especially when they have that scanxiety, when it's time to go back for a cancer test or screening.
And with that modality, they're finding a longer duration of time within the body, as you well know, that if it's a bad day or whatever, with the pain, the suffering, or the anxiety. And there is some really good, it's in the lab, it's in the lab and mostly with the animals, but human studies are encouraging. That's a fair word at this juncture.
Yes.
But you're right about we're not there yet. But there are many people that are pretty well versed in the histrionics of TCM and Ayurveda.
Yeah.
So there seems to be a growing percentile that I think we're catching up. And then real quickly, not to get too sidetracked, I very much am involved with an alternative doctor. Are you familiar with Dr. Dustin Sulak by any chance?
I have not.
In the cannabis CBD world? Yeah. He's pretty renowned in that genre. In any event, he has a series of monthly webinars, which the lion's share of that audience are indeed MDs and practitioners. I want to make it perfectly clear that I am not a practitioner, but within that entourage of clientele, there's patients like myself, there's home healers like myself, and there's a lot of dispensary personnel ownership. And, employees within dispensaries learning the jargon and the terminology and the traditional, quotation marks, medically trained Western philosophy doctors. But in many cases, many of them have been champing at the bit to be able to evolve. And they just couldn't. they just couldn't.
Yeah.
So we're getting there, but it's still a slow fix. But it's encouraging. Whatever anybody's philosophies are, on, everybody, you say tomato, I say tomato, I say CBD. Right. Well, there's still a mixture as there is. Nutrition, what did you find that worked well for you in accentuating, getting that body, mind, soul, all of it connected through nutrition. What did you do personally, and what did you recommend to maybe your clients along the way? Please.
Sure. So personally, I really cut back on the sugar. I tried to remove it as much as possible. So that was one thing. Eating more fruits and vegetables when I could. Eating a lot of fiber, things like that. Just trying to balance. Really stick to more natural things.
Correct. And that's something that's a personal bias. And again, to infinity, I'm not a doctor. And as the old saying went, I never played one on television. But I've lived that lifestyle for a really long time. And I was in the business. I'm retired. I do everything in retirement now. But I had my own sole proprietorship, and I was in the human supplement and animal supplement industry. So it's not so much I know from where I speak, because I was blessed with many individuals that were entrenched in the industry. I never mixed anything in my life. I was an independent ingredient, but maybe Kool-Aid when I was a kid. But I had really good ideas on the drawing board about, geez, if we put plant A with plant B, what would happen? And I had to go to the people that were credentialed and certified. No crazy lab in the basement mixing vials or whatever. I'm not credentialed to do that. My point is I'm very biased to plant-based diet because I've seen the results. I've lived it. And don't let that be disconcerting. We lost you on camera. You can still hear me, correct?
I can still hear you. I'm here, okay, and we'll continue. See you.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that's about, but we're good. We're good. We're going to keep right on rolling. So in any event, nutrition, plant-based, I'm a little biased or a lot biased on that. But that doesn't mean that's the only way. But there's some pretty good results that, as we all know, the traditional Western diet – it's a contributing factor why lots of us get a lot of funky things.
That's right. Yeah, it's not the best. And, you know, I always recommend for people to, when they can eat, to figure out what are those main staples that when they're ready to eat, they have the appetite that they can go to that are healthy and going to give them a balanced meal.
Correct. So when you get into, in no aspersions that you're not a certified nutritionist or what have you.
No,
unless you
not
are,
at all.
Of course. Unless you are. But
no, I'm
you
not.
You base your advice, conversation, or whatever on what you've seen personal results with, as you're much like myself. I keep interrupting you. Go ahead.
It's okay. I was just going to
There's a tiny little bit of a delay on my feedback. So you go ahead. My apologies. Go ahead.
Okay. So what I do is, like you said, Bill, I share, you know, the things that I've experienced, I've seen, and what I've learned. But also, if they need more specific personalized support when it comes to nutrition, I refer them to someone else because I'm not a nutritionist.
Correct. Mm-hmm. So nobody's claiming, and no aspersions on yourself, of course you're not. But nobody's claiming to be something that they're not. I mean, you have to avow that in the patient-client relationship. So people are happy. I've listened to a few of your shows, they're very intriguing, and I will be listening to more. We're doing good on time. We got about 10 minutes, and I want to make sure I hold you. I know you have some other things to do today. So why don't you please do repeat all of your connections, everything, your LinkedIn page, the whole gamut, please do, to make sure I haven't left any connecting. Okay. So please do everything.
Thank you. So my website is ontheotherside.life, and you can go there. You can learn more about the services that I offer, how I support the people that I work with. You can also find my podcast there as well. The name of my podcast is called Navigating Cancer Together. You can find that on all the major podcast platforms, as well as on my website, Anchor, Spotify, all of those places, Apple Podcasts. You can find me on Instagram at ontheotherside17. That's ontheotherside17. And then also I'm on Facebook. That's On the Other Side Cancer Doula. And LinkedIn, it's On the Other Side as well.
So you definitely have the social media websites and all the alternative sources, and congratulations to you for that. It's tough to get all that exposure and keep abreast of it from somebody that feels we're in this together. We know what that is. It's a lot of work, but it's the message that's so important. And hopefully our passion, and I think it's pretty apparent that we both believe in what we're doing. Yeah. It's so much fun and so key. Yes. Is there anything that you'd like to wind up on before we say goodbye for today? Because as we mentioned in the green room, I would love to have you back, because we did chuckle. Cancer, my goodness, we could make each other's shows a never-ending. Yes. I'd be a guest, you'd be an interviewer. We could go back and forth. We just had a long. So I most assuredly want to have you back. Is there anything that you feel you want to depart, leave people with, food for thought, inspiring words?
Yeah, I just want to tell people, you know, that if they are in need of some support on their cancer journey, that they can feel free to reach out to me. I am not a specific cancer related type of business. A lot of key things come up when someone's related to cancer, no matter what kind that is. Also, please check out my podcast, Navigating Cancer Together. I do, for caregivers out there, if there's any caregivers listening, I do offer affirmation cards for caregivers, and those can be found on my website as well. It is National Family Caregivers Month, so consider getting some affirmation cards for yourself or a loved one. And really, again, you know, if you need help, I'm not saying you have to come to me, but go to someone if you get a cancer diagnosis. Don't try to face it alone.
Two great points on the affirmation cards. First of all, they'd make excellent stocking stuffers with the holiday season right around the corner. And I kid a little bit, but I believe fervently in that. I do a lot of jottings. I aspire myself as a poet a little bit. The jury's out on that, but I have my little daily affirmations. But my point is, whether they come from me or people that really know how to put two sentences together, it's a key part. It's a key part. I believe in them. So kudos to you for offering that as another tool.
You.
And I think that's a great thing in the therapy. So I'm going to bid you adieu, but you do indeed have an open invite.
You.
Let's do this again. We'll schedule behind
let's
the
do
scenes.
Let's do it again. And thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for being
thank
here.
You, Billy.
And it was my great pleasure. So we'll say bye-bye for now, and I'll talk to you very soon. And I will send you a copy of the show and all the particulars. Thank you. Bye, everybody.
Okay.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Bye. Thanks again.